It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, yeah. On your home for the best Ravens coverage.
What time is that?
It's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
All right, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. What's happening, everybody? Woman Crush Wednesday. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. Ravens back at practice today, getting ready for the Denver Broncos. 5-3, both teams identical records. Denver's won 5 out of 6. Bo Nix just threw 3 touchdown passes. But the Ravens are 9.5 point favorites coming off that loss at Cleveland. And we'll see what the health status is for a couple of banged up dudes. But let's look back as John Harbaugh met with the media on Monday. And we talked about it Monday morning. The decision to go for it on 4th down, the opening drive. And I don't think we're surprised at the decision, but the play call and what the hell was going on there?
That's a pretty clear-cut go, you know, most of the time around the league, especially at the plus 10-yard line. And I have confidence in our guys to get that, plus the ability to keep them backed up, you know, is probably a real plus there at the 10. That's why it's a clear-cut go. I think most of the time we're going to get that. Look at last week. We got one. It was more than that. Scored a touchdown on it. So my only regret, if you want to call it a regret, is that we didn't make it. You know, I'm not in love with the fact that we didn't get it. I hate the fact that we didn't get it. So that's the disappointment there.
Okay. What about the play call?
Yeah, I didn't like the play call just because they were stacking the box. And your O-line was kind of getting bounced around. You know, you weren't having a lot of success running it. And then when they just lined Lamar up out there, they got 10 dudes in the box. So you're outnumbered. And Ronnie Stanley whiffed. Kolar whiffed. That's why he lost a yard.
And when you kind of take Lamar out of the play, aren't you letting him know exactly what the hell you're doing anyway?
Yeah. All right, no doubt about it. I did not like it. You know, I mean, it wasn't. But if they would have blocked it properly, you know, and they make it, they, you know, that was a good play. I mean, the execution. My guess is the play call. I didn't like the play call. The execution was worse.
Now, Justin Tucker missed a 50-plus yarder. The one he made didn't look all that great.
No.
But, you know, we figured he was kind of back to being Justin Tucker after making 50-yarders plus back-to-back games, including a huge one at Cincinnati. Here's John Harbaugh explaining what went wrong on Justin's miss there.
He could explain it better than I could. It just didn't look like, you know, a great hit, you know, on the ball. From what I could tell, I watched it. I saw the technique. I know what I think about it as a former special teams coach. But Tuck can tell you way better than I can. So,
yeah, and Bob, the one he made, he goes down to a knee on the one he made, you know, which I'd never seen before. Because then I went and watched the PAT one, and I've never seen him do what he did. And like you said, the one he made, he barely made, and he didn't strike that one well. So the 50-yarder, he didn't strike well at all.
And unlike John Harbaugh, I have never been a special teams coordinator at any level, not even on board games. And I've never been a kicker at any point in time. But Justin Tucker, on the longer ones, keeps
left.
Missing left.
Yeah.
So, you know, he booms them right down the pipe in the PATs where you're in the middle of the hashes. But yeah. Why, Vinny, wherever this, even the one he made was drifting left. Why to the left? What is it, technique? Is it arm strength? Leg strength kind of diminishing a little bit? Why is it just constantly hooking to the left
probably
side?
Probably like a golfer, you know, type thing. Bob, I did coach the kickers at Notre Dame, and I had Craig Hendrick, who was played in the league for a long time at Tennessee and was a good kicker and a punter. He was All-American. So all I would tell Henny is, I said, Henny, you know a lot more about it than I do. What, you go in, you watch film, and you come back and tell me what the issues are. That's what I would do. Hey, Bob, I hate to tell you, AFC Offensive Player of the Week?
Jameis Winston.
Yes.
We said it during the break. I said, I bet it's going to be maybe even Monday, I was saying it. So not a stunning turn of events. Well, it could have. All right. Hamilton catches the ball. Tucker this year, 13 of 17, 76.5%. Now, this is a guy that's 90% for his career.
Yeah, I thought he was over it, Bob. Yeah. I mean, when he lined up to kick the 49-yarder, the one he made, I'm saying he's going to drill this one. It wasn't a. It was like, ooh. You know, even the announcers were saying, is that good? You know, or barely snuck in. Barely snuck in from 49 is not good for him. I mean, because he, like the 56-yarder, he drilled it. And then, yeah, the one that he missed, he did not hit it good. I don't think he was hitting the ball good at all, Bob, all day.
And by the way, Jameis Winston needs to take Eddie Jackson and Kyle Hamilton after dinner.
No doubt.
Thanks for getting me that Player of the Week thing in the AFC. News from the Nest video at 81.05.7 The Fan. He had Jackson, he had Washington in for the benched Marcus Williams. How did they play, John?
I thought they played solid football. They, you know, they were in the right spot, doing the right things the vast majority of time. I thought they played hard, made some good tackles, and made, you know, were in solid position at the times. And I think for all of us, I mean, we all want to just make a few more plays, you know, get a few more pressures, get a few more sacks, get a few more batted balls, get a few more PBUs, you know, that'd be good. Get in a couple, catch the ball in the interceptions, you know, that's the big one from this game, you know, everybody wants to make plays, so just think we got to keep chasing that.
Bob, that kind of reminds me of, how'd your date look? Oh, she's real smart, you know?
Wow, okay. Eddie Jackson missed a couple tackles.
Yeah.
I mean, Manos DiPietro's on the interception.
His man-to-man coverage ability is not good, you know, and it showed up on that 3rd and 8 play, you know. I still can't figure out why they were playing 8 yards off when it's third and eight. I mean, Bob, if you stop him on that one, it's fourth down, even after – you know, the Kyle Hamilton stuff. It's still 4th and 8, you know, and if you got a chance to win the game on that play, I just can't believe that you're not up in people's faces.
All right, let's get to a topic that Zach Orr mentioned last week, and I'm sure he'll address it again when he speaks tomorrow. The third down conversion success against for Baltimore and Cleveland, correct me if I'm wrong,
23.7% going in.
Worst in football, right?
Worst.
So, John Harbaugh, what's going on with that?
Yeah, on defense, one thing we need to do better is get them in longer situations, because it's a little tougher to really bring the heat when it's 3rd and 3, 3rd and 4, 3rd and 5, because you overload and then you leave run gaps and scramble gaps available. Screens become more evident. So we just got to, I think, start off with, you know, let's keep them from running it down to 3rd and 1, 3rd and 2, 3rd and 3, even 3rd and 4. Let's get them in 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9, 3rd and 10 plus more often, you know. That'd probably be the first thing. And then we can get after people a little more with the pass rush. And I think that'll help our third down quite a bit.
And that same thing, yeah, I totally agree with Harv. Same thing I've been saying. It's not about third down. It's about 1st and 2nd down. You know, you 3rd and 2, you know. But I'll say this. The most critical third down play of the game was 3rd and 8. And you blitz. And, you know, Armour Davis was pedaling to 12 to 14, and Eddie Jackson was about 11 yards deep.
Ravens are 29th in the NFL in third down success rate defensively.
Yeah, and Bob, I mean, they give up 45.6%, which is not good. Which is not, I mean, they've gotten worse, you know, as, because I keep them from every week. They were 44 versus the Buffalo week, then they were 38.3, then they were 42.6, then 41.1, now 45.6.
Yeah, that's not good. And real quick, John Harbaugh mentioned the pass rush. John, how do you feel about your pass rush through the first eight games of the season?
Yeah, I'm happy with it a lot of the times. I think if you look at the stats and all that, kind of what you're referring to, it's not as consistently there as you're going to want it to be. I think some of that is the fact that we've played some really mobile quarterbacks. So we've had to kind of cage rush a little bit. That wasn't the case yesterday. You know, that's one I would have liked to have gotten them off the spot a little more, a little quicker. We did blitz. And they were getting the ball out fast most of the time when we did. But there's also times on play action, especially on first down, where he held it. And that's because, you know, you're stopping the run first. And we weren't stopping the run as well as we have.
I agree with everything he said. Everything he said is the exact truth. The ball on third down some was getting out rather quick because they did get some hits on the quarterback. But then, you know, the thing about it is why was Lamar holding the ball so long? The O-line was doing a decent job blocking a lot of that time, but the receivers weren't open. Now here, why's the ball come out quick? They're open. You know, so that helps too, is to have some coverage. But all the other stuff, totally agree with Hart. You know, I mean, yeah, would I like them to be able to? Yeah, I would. You know, we just hadn't been consistent, and they hadn't been. And, you know, I mean, Van Ooy was on a heater earlier in the year. Now, teams notice that they're gonna chip him, because are they worried about Elway? No, not recently. They're not.
Buy or sell coming up next. Let's count some dough, hopefully, as we hit midweek and talk about the many sports subjects of this day. Jim Hunter, talk about the World Series with him as the Yankees stay alive. 11-4 thumping of the Dodgers. Vinny's film breakdown of the Ravens offense coming up around 12:45. NFL lunch feed you some football. There's a benching in Indianapolis and a familiar name taking over.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Left 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Great quarterback.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Pick a song, we'll play it. Favorite female artist or band. Send your request, pause for text line at 410-583-1057. Tons to get into. World of sports, like Jim Hunter talking World Series, coming up in about 15 minutes or so. But let's count that money, buy or sell.
Well, the Dow's up 156. The S&P's up 10. NASDAQ's up 27. DraftKings up a quarter. And Under Armour's up a nickel.
Let's start here in the NFL, where Christian McCaffrey, he's yet to suit up this season. Been dealing with Achilles tendonitis. Good news, though, maybe close to returning to the practice field as soon as next week when the 49ers come off of their bye. Jordan Mason, in the meantime, done pretty good work supplementing the lost production. 685 yards, that's great. Only three touchdowns, though, and that's probably an area of McCaffrey's game that they're missing the most, is his red zone threat. If he is in line to play for Week 10, he'll have eight games left in the regular season to accumulate some stats. Vinny Byers sell, even with the missed time, McCaffrey will still lead the 49ers offense in touchdowns. The current leader right now is Kittle with six.
I'll buy it. I'll buy it because he not only gets him in the run game, in the pass game too. I mean, that's the thing. He lines up, you know, out wide as a wide receiver. He kind of plays a lot like Ricky Waters played when we had him at the Niners, where he could catch, you know, he was much of a receiver as he was a running back, kind of like McCaffrey.
A little baseball here. The Dodgers didn't have the best pitching health this season, still managed to make it this far. Very good position to win it all. None of their starters were able to appear in more than 25 games, only two surpassing 100 innings pitched on the year. Nonetheless, they were happy to still have Yoshinobu Yamamoto available through October. After his shortened regular season, he's pitched to a sub-4 ERA in the playoffs, his best start coming earlier in the World Series here. Big expectations do come along with that big contract that he got, but buy or sell, Bob, Yamamoto will be the Dodgers' full-season ace next year.
Full season ace. I'm going to, because I was going to sell it, but Glasnow and Buehler have injury issues at the yin-yang. Kershaw, if he comes back, he's a shell of what he used to be. I'm going to sell it. You know why? Because I think the Dodgers are going to make a splash, and they're going to sign someone that's not even on their team right now. And you can maybe connect some dots if you know what I'm talking about. Corbin Burns.
I don't want to connect those dots.
Corbin Burns. Throw it out there.
Well, earlier this week, the Chiefs made another trade by acquiring outside linebacker Josh Uche from the Patriots. Mm-hmm. Only took a sixth-round pick to get it. A low-risk move, potential for high reward. His high watermark for sacks came back in 2022 when he had 11.5, but just 9 total spread throughout his other 43 career games played. Was drafted back in 2020. His snap count has also taken a dip since that big 2022 season. In 7 games this year, he's been on the field for just 35% of the team's defensive snaps, making him more of a rotational piece rather than a starter. Buy or sell, Vinny, Uche will see an uptick in his snap count with Kansas City.
I'll buy that. He'll be in the rotation. I mean, they got good rush. They got Karloftis and Jones. So they got a lot of good pieces there. End of the second-ranked defense already.
Some college football news here. Colorado's already made themselves bowl eligible. That's an accomplishment in and of itself for a program that's only been to a pair of bowl games in the last 17 years. But we know Dion has his sights set much higher, and he's not pleased with the lack of Heisman attention for quarterback Shedeur Sanders. The reason? Well, Dion says, quote, he's not even mentioned. Oh, my bad. He's my son. That's why. Bob, are you buying or selling Dion's comments as to why Shedeur is not getting Heisman recognition?
I'm selling it. Isn't everyone kind of chapsticking old Travis Hunter here?
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't he play for Colorado, if I'm not mistaken? I think there are more worthy candidates to me, and I'm a Heisman voter, full disclosure. It's Jenty or Travis Hunter as the Heisman guys right now. Now, Stevenson, Shedeur continues to play at this level, then yeah, he gets himself into a mix. You know why? Because it's a quarterback award. Yeah. It's like the MVP in the, well, you get a better chance of seeing a non-quarterback win the Heisman than you will an MVP in the NFL. I like when Deion said, oh, that's cute that they were bowl eligible. Yeah, let's see if he's still in Boulder when Shedeur and Travis Hunter are moving on to their next destination.
And we'll close with this here. The Texans, they're going to be without Stephon Diggs for the remainder of the season. Yesterday confirmed that he did tear his ACL. They made that big swing to get him in the offseason, but with an expiring contract, his future now very much in question. In the meantime, the Texans, they remain favorites there in the AFC South, but with a wide receiver core that's now led by Tank Dell, and that's about it. Other receivers in the mix, Robert Woods, Xavier Hutchinson, but both of those guys under 100 yards on the season. Buy or sell, Vinny, the Texans will be pulling off a big wide receiver trade before next week's deadline.
I don't know if it'll be a big wide receiver trade. I mean, it might be a wide receiver trade. Maybe Mike Williams or something. I don't know if you would consider that big. But I think they've got to add something.
Yeah, the big guy, I guess, was Adams, right?
Yeah.
And he's off the market. And
unless the Jets lose, then maybe they would trade him.
Yeah, trade him again. For a second, you're thinking Kupp, but they took him off. Cooper Kupp, they took him off the
right?
block. Right,
because that division's up for grabs.
Oh, could you imagine if the Jets lose tomorrow night and then, you know, and they're 2-7 and then they trade Davante Adams to Houston or whatever for a second-round pick or something?
The Pat McAfee show would be quite the spectacle that following Tuesday. Baseball news as we lead into Jim Hunter here talking about the World Series when we come back from the break. Will Venable will take over for the Chicago White Sox as their new manager, replaces Grady Sizemore, who was the interim manager. Pedro Grifol was fired in August. This is the worst modern-day baseball team that we have seen. Think about it. The 88 Orioles weren't this bad. The 2018 Orioles weren't this bad. The 2021 Orioles weren't this bad. By the way, 2021, they won their division. The White Sox did, and then they had a 100-loss season, so they bottomed out. Jerry Reinsdorf's put the team up for sale. So good luck with that, Mike Harmon, who we'll be talking to tomorrow here on the program. But the Yankees are staying alive, at least for another night, as they break out the whipping sticks against the Dodgers in their bullpen game. Jim Hunter talks about tonight's Game 5, maybe throw some Orioles stuff in there as well. And then Vinny's film breakdown of the Ravens' offense. They scored 24 points, which is below what they normally do. What happened there?
The latest sports news and your place to talk about it. Always. 105.7 The Fan.
I feel a little Dionne Warwick here. Yeah? No, it's down for acting. Fifth Dimension?
Aretha Franklin. Unless I'm way off.
Well, Samsonite did that one. Way off. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Yankees are still alive, winning last night, 11-4. Game 5 tonight. Here it is on The Fan. As Dodgers trying to win the World Series. Don't want to get back to Chavez Ravine, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. Nolan McGraw is on the other side of the glass here to talk about what he has seen so far through the first four. No team has ever come from 0-3 down to win the World Series. And Dodgers trying to make sure that doesn't happen. For the first time in history, maybe talk some Orioles as well. He's our longtime colleague here on The Fan with Baltimore Baseball Tonight, and he's a longtime voice of the Orioles. He's Jim Hunter. Jim, good afternoon. What is happening?
Gentlemen, how are you?
Good. All right. Then, look, man, as you know, I've made it clear, you and I have been working together for 3 years plus. I hate the Yankees, and I'm losing, and I got zero problem with it. But, you know, you do want to see something competitive, and did last night's game at least make this give us the illusion, Jim, that this World Series could still be competitive? Because you do have Gerrit Cole on the hill, their Cy Young Award-winning high-paid ace. Jack Flaherty, who, as we know in his days in Baltimore, wasn't all that great, but has pitched well this year. Is this a series, or last night was that just, okay, blind squirrel, this thing ends tonight?
Well, I think the Yankees have a chance to send the series back to L.A. for Game 6 because, as you mentioned, Gerrit Cole, the Cy Young Award winner from last year, is on the mound. And he pitched very well in Game 1. He pitched to a no decision, but he went 6 strong innings and only allowed 1 run. So when you have your ace on the mound, and Bob, remember last Wednesday when we talked and you asked me who I thought would win the series? And I said, if the Yankees hit home runs, they'll win. And if they don't hit home runs, they won't win. And last night, you look at the 11-4 final. They scored 8 of those 11 runs on the 3 home runs. Volpe hit the grand slam, Wells a solo, and Gleyber Torres had a 3-run shot. So if they hit the home runs, and Volpe's grand slam gave them the lead, it broke the tie. Actually, they were losing 2-1, and he hit the grand slam to put them up 5-2. So I feel like the Yankees have a very good shot tonight. Cole is better than Flaherty. Flaherty went 5 1/3 in Game 1 against Cole. He allowed 2 runs on a 2-run home run by Stanton. But you got to believe that if the Yankees continue to hit the long ball as they did last night, they have a very good chance to send this game, send the series rather, back to L.A. for Game 6.
Yeah, I remember you going out on the limb with that prediction last week, Jim Hunter. But talking about a guy who's not hitting home runs for them, and it is Aaron Judge. And look, I can't pop off. The Orioles haven't won a playoff game in 10 years. But, you know, this is where legends are made, these fall classic sort of things. And Juan Soto's kind of living up to that end of the bargain. Now, Judge didn't strike out last night for the first time in the playoffs. But what in the hell's going on with him? Because when he gets hot, as we've seen, he can carry you for a while. But when he gets cold, man, break out the gloves because he gets real cold.
Well, I think the Dodgers have done a very good job of reading his bat. He's been chasing sliders down and away the entire postseason, and the Dodgers continue to throw him sliders down and away. I mean, he did have a base hit last night. He also earned a walk, and he was hit by a pitch, so he was on base three times. But he's only batting 152. And, you know, with all this age of analytics, I'm a big believer. You know, Jim Palmer talks about it all the time on the broadcast. The pitcher and the catcher have to read the bat. And you're helping the hitter out if you go against what you're seeing. And with Aaron Judge chasing sliders down and away that are actually balls because they break out of the strike zone, if you could, you know, now the fear is you might hang one, but so be it. But if he's going to continue to chase him, you got to keep attacking him that way. And the Dodgers have done a very good job, and the Guardians, for that matter, in the prior series against Aaron Judge by getting him to chase.
In the first four games, Jim Hunter, have you noticed anything that you might question from a managerial point of view here?
Well, I mean, you could go back to game one when Freeman hit the grand slam off Cortez on the first pitch he threw. You know, Aaron Boone, I think Dave Roberts uses his bullpen better. And the one thing that that they have in their favor tonight, the Dodgers, is he saved all his high-leverage relievers last night. They didn't get into the game. So they're all available and well-rested for tonight. Whereas Aaron Boone tends to, you know, you scratch your head sometimes and say, well, why is he doing this? So, you know, the first four games, I mean, they were all competitive. Dodgers won 6-3 in Game 1, 4-2 in Game 2, 4-2 in Game 3, and then the Yankees won the blowout last night because of the three home runs. But, you know, except for the pitching moves by Aaron Boone, I don't really think anything really jumps out that you say to yourself, you know, why is he doing that or why is he not doing that?
Jim Hunter, our colleague, Baltimore Baseball Tonight, joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, talking baseball as he does every Wednesday. What we've seen from Freddie Freeman's been great, homers in four straight games. What about Ohtani? We talk about Judge. I mean, Ohtani hasn't been that bad. He's still getting on almost 40% of the time. But Ohtani, his first World Series, been kind of underwhelming here, I guess, based on expectations.
Well, yeah, the shoulder injury that he suffered in Game 2, that certainly doesn't help, although he did have a base hit last night. So they had a shot of him running the bases on Fox last night, and he was holding his jersey to prevent the left shoulder from coming loose. And, you know, that obviously is affecting him, but, you know, Ohtani at 60% is probably as good as many players at 100%. So, you know, hopefully he breaks out for the Dodgers' sake. But, you know, the injury's got to be affecting his swing, although John Smoltz did point out that as a left-handed batter, the right shoulder is actually more important because it's your lead arm as a left-handed batter. So we'll see. But, I mean, it's kind of amazing that Judge and Ohtani, the two likely MVPs in each league, are having substandard World Series.
Hey, Jim, if the Yankees win tonight and it goes back to L.A. for Game 6, does the pressure start to kind of mount on the Dodgers?
You know, Vinny, I think it might a little bit because they had a chance to wrap it up on the road. But when you're going home, you know, the Yankees still have to win four in a row. Now, they've won one. Are the Dodgers capable of losing four in a row? I don't think they are. But I don't disagree with you that there's got to be a little pressure where they had a chance to close it out in New York, and they didn't. But Dodger Stadium is a very good home field advantage. It's going to be a sellout if they go back for Game 6. And the Dodgers play very, very well there. So I think there's a little bit of pressure, but I don't think it's anything that they can't overcome.
Jim Hunter, colleague, Baltimore Baseball Tonight, longtime voice of the Orioles. Jim, last thing for you. Speaking of the Orioles, what sort of blockbuster will Mike Elias have up his sleeve in the offseason with the winter meetings coming up in, what, about 5-6 weeks here?
You know, I don't know. he's built a tremendous farm system that he holds on to many of these prospects, but he hasn't gone out, except for the Corbin Burnes trade last year, he hasn't really gone out and made a major trade to help the big league club. You look at what contenders do at the deadline, and he was kind of passive this past year. So I don't know. I would hope that he would go out. And the owner has said, you know, he's 75 years old. He wants to bring the World Series back to Baltimore, and he doesn't have a lot of time because of his age. So hopefully that means that he will approve more payroll to go out and sign a few pitchers that you know can pitch. I mean, they're gonna need at least two starting pitchers because of all the injuries. They'll have Grayson coming back, and they have Eflin, but beyond that, it's a bunch of question marks. So I would hope that he would go out and make a banner move to bring in people that they know can play. That, you know, when you're trying to win as they are, and you expect to win as they do, you have to go out and add to your roster of players that you know what they can do. And that, except for the Burnes trade that and the Eflin trade, to be fair to him, those were two trades that definitely helped the rotation. And I would love to see them bring Burnes back, but who knows what that's going to cost.
Yeah, no more Eloy Jimenez's. How's that sound? Jim Hunter, as Nolan just told me, this is our last segment for the rest of the year. Is that true?
Oh, my goodness. Tears.
Well, Jim, always appreciate your time. March will be here before you know it, and obviously we'll talk many more times before then. Jim Hunter, appreciate the time.
All right, guys. Good to talk to you.
Thanks, Jim.
Jim Hunter, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. When we come back, Vinny's film breakdown of the Ravens offense. They lost at Cleveland. They had opportunities to make plays. They made plays, but a lot of drops. What happened? What led to that sort of mistake? And then NFL lunch coming up 1 o'clock. Ryan Wilson will preview week 9 of the NFL season with him already from CBSSports.com. And then we'll start looking at this schedule a little bit more, getting you ready for the Ravens and Broncos.
Breaking down every last second of game tape for Sunday's matchup.
Now, who's your connection?
You sound like a cop to me.
Who's your connection?
Enter Vinny's Film Room on 105.7 The Fan.
All right, earlier in the show, Vinny broke down the Ravens' defensive performance against the Cleveland Browns. A loss. Tough loss. Heartbreaking loss. Ended a 5-game winning streak. Jameis Winston was named Offensive Player of the Week based on that performance by himself, of course, in the Ravens' D. Now let's look to the offensive side of the ball. Ravens put up 24, but in the end, not good enough.
Yeah, the problem was the inconsistencies throughout the game. I mean, it was by everybody, too. There wasn't just one guy that had inconsistencies. But let's just start with Ronnie Stanley, probably played his worst game. Had a couple penalties, gave up a sack. Ronnie wasn't Ronnie in that game. I mean, he was dealing with Garrett a lot, but not all the time. Thought McCarrie struggled on a couple plays too with the pass. Lindenbaum with the big guy a couple times. Falele on the twist move one time, but otherwise I thought he played all right. Receivers, I didn't think they ran great routes. You know, when you get man coverage and stuff, you got to create sharp breaks, you know, to create separation. And Bateman had two critical drops, and Aguilar had a key drop on third down. So I mean, there was three drops in that game that were killers. And Lamar wasn't his best either. Lamar missed some throws. Maybe he was a little confused at times. Receivers weren't getting open, but he missed Zay for a touchdown. For, you know, I mean, would have put him up by seven. And then he missed probably his biggest miss was the likely one. And what's crazy about that, I mean, likely would have went for 85. And they ended up punting on that drive, too. And then also in that drive was the Sun one from Bateman. Same drive. Was on first down and third down. I mean, Lamar could have had almost 370 yards passing if he gets that 85-yarder. So I didn't think the run blocking was great, wasn't consistent. Henry had 11 carries, and he had to work for every yard. And, you know, Todd Monken, I didn't think Todd had his best game. I didn't like the jet sweep stuff because their defense is too fast, and they move too well laterally. And then the Derrick Henry on the fourth down one, didn't like that. So, I mean, offensively, for them, it was probably a C-plus game, and you still scored 24 points. And you had the kicker miss a three-pointer for you, which, you know, would have given you 27 points. I mean, they could have put up over 30 points again and not played well. I mean, that was a game that you say, you know, especially like if Hamilton catches that ball, you know, we didn't play good, but we found a way to win. That's what we did. We did enough to win, you know, offensively. We made play. I mean, you got to love the fact that 59 seconds ago, and if they would have only needed a field goal, and, you know, if things would have happened differently where they're down three, you know you're going to at least go to overtime. And then in overtime, I kind of like the Ravens. So, wasn't a great performance by anybody. You know, I mean, Zay Flowers probably had played the best of anybody in that game. Zay was pretty much dominant in the game every time he touched it. Lamar played well. You know, I mean, Lamar played well. He made a lot of plays, but he missed a couple that he normally hits. That's the thing. So, and then with the special teams, I mean, they were going to kick it to Collier. I mean, because they put Justice Hill over there one time, they kicked it to the other side to Collier. So they wanted to kick it to Collier. So maybe with Deontay Johnson back there too, maybe they put Deontay back, you know, and Justice Hill. Get a little bit better returns out of there. And Deontay Johnson's also a return guy. And too many penalties. I mean, every time Collier ran it, there was a penalty. I mean, then all of a sudden your offense is starting out, you know, on the 10-yard line. And that makes it difficult because you got to go 90 and they're blitzing the heck out of you. So that makes it tough. And then when you're not getting a lot of good yardage on first down, all of a sudden, you know, your third down plays turn into third and long. And the Ravens third down, what were they, 2 for 10? They were not good on third down for a team that was number two in the league coming in at 50%. And you only get two. So that's a big component of it too. And that's all because they weren't getting anything. You know, Derrick Henry, usually it's second and five after Derrick Henry, or, you know, then third and two, and then it's a lot easier to convert. So it was not a good game for the offense, for the players, the coaches, for anybody in that one.
Why the limited carries for Henry, though? Like 2 weeks ago, for instance, Washington said, hey, you're going to have to throw to beat us. And Zay Flowers had 9 catches for 130-plus yards in the first half. Second half, the Ravens just ran it down their throats. What was Cleveland doing that maybe had Todd Monken overthinking some things?
Well, they were 9 in the box, Bob. And, you know, the Ravens were kind of in, when they have, you know, Henry in there and stuff with the two tight ends, Cleveland was doing when they would go with the two tight ends and Ricard in the back, they were putting 9 in the box, and you got them outnumbered. You got a free guy. You know, that's what they were doing. They had free runners all the time, and they were attacking. They were run blitzing hard, and they just never let up. So I kind of wish Todd would have did a little more plaques and pass on first down, you know, to try to cope with that. But he'll figure it out. You know, I mean, he's much smarter than I am at that kind of stuff. So, you know, I've texted him the week before. I said, great job calling plays and stuff, you know. So just wasn't a good game, and it wasn't good execution. So they need to give their guys a better chance in that type of situation, I think. Give the players a better chance to succeed. because they weren't. And the receivers kind of let them, like I said earlier, the receivers let them down too, Bob, by not creating any separation and getting open. And maybe in those types of situations, you got to run more crossing routes to kind of get picks and stuff.
And you talked about Stanley not having a great game.
No.
And, you know, Garrett does that to a lot of people. But Linderbaum, the right side, I mean, was it a step back for that side of the line?
Rosengard's always going to have problems with power. You know, he's always going to have problems with power this year. And he, every now and he does at times. But he's getting better. You know, his run stuff is not bad. But he just needs to get stronger. And that's going to affect him run or pass. And I think Falele is getting better. You know, I mean, I thought Falele, other than one play where Za'Darius came in a twist from the outside and beat him up on the inside, but then they ran it again and Falele got him. I thought Falele is, he had a nice pull on one. First time I've ever, you know, I've seen him in a long time on the ground. I hadn't seen Falele on the ground in a while, but I thought he didn't play bad.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. When we come back, NFL lunch, feed you some more football. Quarterback change in Indianapolis, some other things going on in the National Football League. Looks like there's going to be a kicker change with the Jets, probably long overdue.
Oh, yeah.
If I'm a Jets fan, so stay tuned for that. We'll talk about week 9 of the NFL season with Ryan Wilson from CBSSports.com. We'll look at the schedule, both college and pro. If you want to get in, you can at 410-583-1057. It's Woman Crush Wednesday. Bob, Andy, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, 105.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.